And welcome everyone who's just dialing in for Coffee with the Coder, episode 82. We had a fabulous discussion with our insiders this morning, and Christine has given us some new insight into the upgrades for Coffee with the Coder on Facebook and LinkedIn. So, hey, Christine, why don't you tell the regular group that what you told the insiders?
I'd love to. I was letting everyone know that the requirements to join the Facebook group, Coffee with the Coder, has been adjusted. And so the mugshot can now be submitted inside the group as kind of a fun thing to do, but it's no longer a requirement to be added into the group. We were finding some people having difficulties, and we just didn't think that it was necessary. So, and we have also, excitement, have added a new group on LinkedIn, Coffee with the Coders Network. And so we should be able to have both of those groups running and be a form of support in between episodes.
Yay! So welcome everybody today. Thank you so much for that, Christine. And I want to welcome Heather again now to the live call. I'm eager to get started on questions. Did you have anything to tell us before I start throwing questions at you?
No, just wanted to say good morning to everybody.
Yay. Okay. So I have the first question is from Laura. And Laura wants to know, it looks to me like Laura's in an inpatient rehab because that's where you talk about IGC, right?
Yes, right.
Okay. So her question is, what IGC does pathologic fracture go in? Is it 8.11 or 8.9? She says the IRFPI manual sends her to 8.9, so maybe she's not exactly sure.
Okay, so while we agree with the IRFPI manual partially, if the pathological fracture had no surgical intervention, you would put it under 8.9. However, if there was a surgical intervention, you would put it under 8.11.
So it's all the focus of care and all the reasons that got them in there in the first place. Perfect. Okay. Thank you, Laura, for the question. And now we're going to go over to Ida. We love Ida. She sent us lots of wonderful questions. And she says, I'm not real confident regarding spinal fusion procedures, which is PCS coding. And she sent us a couple of attachments. She's wondering about the rods and the screws. One of the webinars she watched said, don't code them. And another thing she found, it's not part of the fusion. It's coded separately. So she's wondering about the approach. Is it done through the side, which is not the front or the back of the patient? So I'm thinking that's called anterior, but I just want to make sure. So let me know your thoughts about this.
Okay. So for fusion procedures, rods and screws would not be coded separately. Now, coding clinic for ICD-10 and PCS, the fourth quarter of 2017, states that fixation with plates and screws is included in the fusion root operation and no additional codes are assigned. Now, the AAVC and the HEMA have also indicated that rods, plates, and screws are included in the fusion, and so they would not be reported with a separate code. Now, in regards to the approach, if the incision is made on the side, then you are correct, it would be the anterior approach.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm trying to see that picture in my head about how they would do that. Probably YouTube, right? My next question is anonymous. This person says, our surgeon completed an L5 laminectomy on the patient. 2 months later, the patient presented to the emergency department with headache, neck stiffness, and fever. The surgeon who performed the laminectomy was brought in, and he completed a lumbar puncture while the patient was still in the emergency room. Should we add or append modifier 24 or 25 to this emergency room visit?
So assuming the problem is unrelated to the patient's initial surgery, you would report the ED visit and the lumbar puncture and while appending the correct modifier. So since the new symptoms could reflect meningitis, those services may or may not be related to the original laminectomy if an incidental durotomy occurred and a subsequent infection then developed. Now, for a separate and unrelated condition like the meningitis, you would first report the ED visit, and you would append modifier 24 to that. And modifier 24 is for unrelated evaluation and management services by the same physician or other qualified healthcare professional during a postoperative period. And again, you would append that to the ED visit code because the service was a new problem during the laminectomy's global period. Now remember, you should only append modifier 24 to an E&M code when the physician renders the E&M service during the 10 or 90-day post-op global period for reasons that are unrelated to the patient's original surgery. That modifier 24 only applies to services that your physician performs after the surgical procedure that go within the global period of that procedure. Also, be aware that the medical record must show that the E&M visit was unrelated to the post-op care and that the diagnosis should clearly indicate the reason for the unrelated post-op encounter. Now, in addition to that E&M code, you would also report code 62270 for the spinal puncture, and you should append modifier 79 to that, and 79 is for unrelated procedures or services by the same physician or other qualified healthcare professional during the post-op period. You would also append modifier 25 to your E&M code if the decision to perform the minor surgery of the lumbar puncture was made during that E&M visit. So in answer to your question, I know we kind of went around the world with it, you would use both modifiers in that scenario, both 24 and 25.
And that's, like you said, provided the medical record supports that this was not related.
Correct. So if you wouldn't use the 24 if it was from the original surgery. So if you did have that infection from the surgery, you would drop the 24 modifier.
Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay. So now I have another one. And this one is also anonymous. So let me switch that up where I can read it better. Our orthopedic surgeon treated a patient with an open displaced transverse radial shaft fracture of the left arm. Love that specificity. Before performing the repair, he cleaned the skin around the injury, then debrided the foreign material and necrotic tissue. He also removed injured tissue in and around the side of the fracture, then irrigated the tissue layers before performing open treatment of the fracture with internal fixation. How do I report this encounter?
Okay, so in this case, you're going to report a code for the fracture treatment as well as a code for the debridement. On the claim, you need to report 25515 for the open treatment of a radial shaft fracture, which includes internal fixation when it's performed, for the fracture treatment. Now, be sure to append the diagnosis code S52322B for the open displaced transverse fracture of the radius of the left arm. 225515, and you're going to do that because you need to prove the medical necessity for the procedure. And you should note here that because the Pistilla classification type is not specified in our operative note that you've or the note that you've sent, the seventh character for the open fracture type 1 or 2 would be applied in that case because that is the seventh character, and that's seventh character B. And you're going to apply that when you don't know what the Gastillo classification is. You would apply either that type 1 or 2. Now, you should also report 11010 for the debridement, including removal of the foreign material at the site of an open fracture or open dislocation for the debridement. So you would apply the fracture, the open fracture code 25515, and then the debridement code 11010. And you would need to choose, again, the most descriptive diagnosis code you can based on the notes. And based on the notes from your encounter, we think the best choice would be S61502A for an unspecified open wound of the left wrist for the initial encounter. Now, remember that it's fairly common for patients suffering from fractures to need wound cleaning or debridement for their injuries, especially after the injuries occur from an accident. From your description of the provider's actions, again, we think 11010 would be the best debridement code for your encounter.
Thank you, thank you. I love how this person gave such a lot of detail, but mm-hmm. And your answer seems to indicate there are other details they could have possibly given.
Yes. Yeah, the Gastillo classification type was not given in this case, and that would tell us what type of fracture it is. It's type 1, type 2, type 3, type 4. We're not super familiar with that as coders, but the physician would tell you in his documentation if he knows it. And when they don't, you're going to choose type 1 or type 2.
Perfect. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, Heather, it's been a thrill to have you with us today. I appreciate your detailed answers here. This is awesome. I can't wait to post this episode. And I got one more thing to do. I'm going to mug someone. I'm going to give away a mug today. Those of you who are new, it's a really good thing to get mugs with Coffee with Decoder, because we've commissioned this beautiful mug for your hot drink or whatever you choose to drink from it. And it's got AQIQ on both sides. And we give one away every episode. So what I've done is the two non-anonymous questioners are Laura and Ida, and I have their names on a paper in front of me. I don't know if you can hear me rustling the paper, but I've been rustling the paper under the desk so that I'm not choosing by their name. I'm choosing by anonymously. And so let's pull it out from under the desk and see who the winner is. Laura, congratulations. You've just won another mug. I will reach out to you and see where to send it. I look forward to seeing you all, interacting with you on Facebook and LinkedIn to the next episode in 2 weeks, February 10th, episode 83. Isn't that exciting that we have 83 episodes? look forward to talking with you all in the meantime.